السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. أما بعد, my dear brothers and sisters, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your coming here, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause this to be a source of hidayat for all of us, inshallah. We will try to complete the third question of the grave, inshallah, today, which is مَا هَذَا الرَّجُلُ الَّذِي بُعِثَ فِيكْ. What do you say about this man who was sent with a mission amongst you? And we have been through a great part of that, where I mentioned to you something about who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was and is. Was in terms of his person, is in terms of his risala, which does not end, which goes on till the day of judgment. We also talked about what is it that we say about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and our aqaid with respect to him. We continue with that, and I mentioned to you also the issue of people who seem to do one of two things. One is either in the name of respecting Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they raise his daraja and they raise him in such a way, it's not really raising, because that is not what he considered to be raising. When they asked him, how should we refer to you, he said, Abduhu wa Rasuluhu. Say that I am Allah's slave and I am his messenger. So that is, if somebody does anything other than that, then we cannot say this is honor, we cannot say this is raising, because honor can only be in the perspective and definition of the one who considers it to be an honor. So you have on the one hand people who claim that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not human, more than human. Na'udhu billah, they go even to the extent of some of them even believe and say that he is literally a part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say Allah is Noor, and from the Noor of Allah is the Noor of Muhammad. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Noor and he is a part of the Noor of Allah. Na'udhu billahi min zalik, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say that, and they fabricated a hadith where this false hadith, where they quote it and they say that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and I claim and I reiterate that he did not say this. This is a falsehood, this is a lie that is attributed to him. And the hadith they quote is, they say, Ana min nurillahi wa kullu shay'in min nuri. I am from the Noor of Allah and everything else is from my Noor. Na'udhu billah. This is a complete falsehood, which is a fabrication, which is made in the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the one who fabricates in my name, the one who attributes to me something that I did not say, will search for his own place in Jahannam and he will find it. So it is such a serious matter, where if we say that the Prophet ﷺ said this when he actually did not say that. And that's the reason why, even in our normal parlance, in our normal conversation, and of course we don't mean it in that way at all, alhamdulillah, but in a manner of eminent safety, for the sake of being more than necessarily careful, we always, when we talk about a hadith or we mention the translation of a hadith, we say the meaning of what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said is something like this. And even when the hadith is, and you must have noticed this, even when the hadith is mentioned in, when somebody is quoting it in Arabic, when the hadith is finished, the person will say, Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wassalam. Meaning, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something like this. Even though the person is quoting the exact words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, still he will say, Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wassalam. Or he said something like this. So, and this is by means of eminent caution. We don't want to, even though it is not our intention, we still don't even want to fall into the trap where even accidentally we misquote the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what of those who actually fabricate a hadith in order to please Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So there is a famous hadith. There are many incidents of fabricators, and we have to thank the muhaddithin, and this is a very important element because people try to take advantage of this and say wrong things. But one of the greatest services that was done by muhaddithun, by the people of the scholars of hadith, starting right from Imam Malik to Imam Ahmad, who were two of the major scholars of hadith, and others, was to actually identify this fabricated hadith and to say that this hadith is fabricated, this is a false hadith. Now sometimes people say, why do they even mention it? They mention it so that you become aware that it is a false hadith. If it was not mentioned anywhere, if, for example, if they just deleted it from the book, somebody will quote it and you don't know what it is from, where it is from, then you say maybe it's true because somebody says the hadith. But now, because the false ahadiths are also mentioned in the books and they have been flagged that they are false, the moment somebody quotes a hadith, what do? You refer it back to the book and you say, well, look, let me look at the book and see, is this a authentic hadith or is it a fabricated hadith? For example, one famous incident is one of the Khulafa, and alhamdulillah, he was a good man, he's a pious man. But so one of his hobbies was he used to fly pigeons. You know, so he had this big, huge court of all kinds of pigeons, and he used to fly pigeons. So one day, one alim came to visit him, and he was on his roof, and he was flying the pigeons. So this man came to visit him, and the man quoted a hadith where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam applauded, and he recommended, and he praised people who keep horses. And the idea there was not to people who keep horses to run in the races in Malakpet, but people who keep horses for the sake of jihad, fi sabilillah. So that was the implication. Now this man, he quoted the hadith, he said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam praised people who keep horses and camels and pigeons. Right? Now he's trying to please the king. So now he quotes this hadith and he adds into this thing and pigeons. Now, alhamdulillah, and unfortunately for him, the Khalifa himself was an alim. He was a pious man. So the moment he quoted that hadith, the Khalifa contradicted him, he cursed him and he threw him out of the house. He said, get out of this place. You are a fabricator of hadith. He said, you are saying this to please me because I have pigeons, and therefore you are saying that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam praised people who have pigeons. I mean, he says, what kind of, you know, is this what being an alim, this is what it means? So, one needs to be careful, and the way to be careful is not to reject a hadith, but to go back to the books. Alhamdulillah, they have been flagged, they have been kept. Final point in this. In the entire history of Islam, starting from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam till today, 1400 plus years, every single fabricator of ahadith was a man. There is not a single instance of a woman ever telling a lie about Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not a single instance. And you might say, well, how do we know that? Well, we know that because one of the seminal works, a most detailed work on the female narrators and teachers of a hadith is a book called Al-Muhaddisat. This book is in Arabic. It is written by Sheikh Akram Nadwi in Oxford, in the UK. And the book currently is in 40 volumes. 40 volumes. The Muqaddimah, the introduction or the preface to the book is 300 pages, which has been translated into English. The rest of the book is in Arabic. The last time I met Sheikh Akram was in 2011, where he told me it is now 40 volumes, and my publisher is saying stop your research because no one is going to publish anything which is bigger than this. It's already too big. But he says, I am a scholar, I don't care about it. Somebody publishes it or doesn't publish it, I am doing the research. My job is to do the research, that's my job, and I am going to do that. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will find ways of getting it published. But the book is there. So I am saying that there are detailed records of who are these people, the muhaddisat, who taught ahadith, who preserved ahadith, who narrated ahadith. And alhamdulillah, this is a great... Not a feather in the cap, but it's the whole cap. As far as our sisters in Islam are concerned, there is not a single woman in the history of Islam who ever told a lie about Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are any number of men, may Allah forgive us. But women, not a single woman. Every single woman, every hadith that has been quoted by a woman is a hadith which is thiqah. The woman is thiqah, the hadith is an authentic hadith. Just as a matter of, a side note, as a matter of interest for you, the Hanaf who pray 4 rakat of sunnah before Salatul Dhuhr. I'm not talking about Jummah. In Jummah, there is no sunnah before Jummah. But in Salatul Dhuhr, the 4 rakat of salah which we pray, that hadith was taken by Imam Abu Hanifa, and that hadith, the one who quoted it is one of the sahabiyat, is a lady. Imam Shafi'i took another hadith in which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prayed 2 rakat. So now don't make a shortcut to that. The point is that we tend to change our, alhamdulillah, this is good, shows the wusat of our qalb. But it can be carried to a ridiculous degree where we kind of every half an hour we change our madhab, you know. Depends on, if you say, what is your madhab? Well, right now I am Hanafi, but this morning I was Shafi, and this evening I don't know. So that is not a good idea. So it's important for us to ensure that we are serious with our religion. So now, as I was mentioning that, alhamdulillah, the issue of who is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, to continue with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Hujurat, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, only those are the believers. Only those are the believers who believed in Allah and His Messenger, and afterwards they did not doubt. But they strive with their wealth and their lives for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only those are the ones who are truthful. There is no ayah, interestingly, there is no ayah in the entire Quran where obedience to Allah has been mentioned alone with no reference to the obedience to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is because it is impossible to obey Allah without obeying Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On the contrary, the Quran did not deem it sufficient to refer to the obedience of Allah without referring to the obedience of the Messenger, to remove even the slightest and remotest excuse for ignoring the obedience of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to leave no doubt, in fact, that obedience to Allah is not complete unless obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is fully observed with all its implications. One last word from the above ayah. It must be clearly noted that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a human being in terms of his existential reality, meaning that he was not an angel, he was not Noor, he was not a jinn, he was not some other makhluk, an alien from some planet. He was a human being. But he is also the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, which is the highest status before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If anyone assumes from these ayat, this is the other side of the story. One side of the story is people who think they are raising the level of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam where they make him into a part of Allah. Na'udhu billah. The other side of the story is that people who do not give Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam the respect that is due to him. And they say, well, Allah said, ana basharum mislukum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, say, qul ana basharum mislukum. Say that I am a human being like you. So therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was like me. He was a human being like me. Now this is the other side of the story. And that side of the story is just as bad, if not worse, than this side of the story, which I mentioned to you. So if somebody says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a human like himself, then this is something which can amount to kufr, depending on what the man means. Easy way to understand is that the king of a country is a citizen of that country. So in terms of being a citizen, the king is the same as anybody else. He is equal to all citizens. But that's where it ends. The king is the king. The king, for example, can order for your head to be separated from your body, but you cannot rescind that order, you cannot change that order, and you cannot order that same thing for the king. The king holds the law. He makes the law for the land, he is the custodian of the law, and so on and so forth. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a human being, but he and he alone is the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He and he alone is the Imamul Anbiya. He and he alone is Sayyidul Mursaleen. And he alone is the one to whom the Quran was revealed. And he alone is the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu praised and sent salat and salam on him, and his angels do the same, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to do the same. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُسَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. The fourth condition that we have with respect to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam above all people, above everything, in a condition of faith. And that this is a condition of our iman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised his punishment for anyone who does not fall into this bracket. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين. Which means, say to them, say to the people, if your fathers, your sons, your brothers and sisters, your wives and husbands, your kindred, your family, your khandan, the wealth that you have gained, the commerce in which you fear a decline, and the houses, the dwellings that you build and you look at them and you feel so happy about, you take delight in, if any of these are dearer to you, if you love them more than you love Allah and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and jihad fi sabilillah, then go away and wait until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings His punishment on you. فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِ. Quite literally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, go to hell. In a literal sense, go to hell. Get out of here, Jahannam is yours. And what is the crime? The crime is to love all of these things, all of which are halal to love. There is nothing wrong if I say that I love my son, I love my father, I love my mother. You are supposed to love them. The question is the degree. Who do you love more? All the things mentioned, all the eight things mentioned are things which are halal. It is nothing wrong for you to love your wealth. Nothing wrong for you to love your family. As a matter of fact, you are encouraged to do that. But question is degree. Question is, who do you love more? Do you love Allah more? Or your parents more? Or your children more? Or your family more? Or your society more? Do you love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam more? Or do you love these things more? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not leave it. And this is the point I want to make. Allah did not leave it for our claims. Because I can stand here and I can claim, I declare before all of you and all of you are witness, that I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more, and I love His Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than I love anything else and anybody. I can make this declaration. You have no means of knowing whether I am telling a lie or I am speaking the truth. If I tell you, do you agree? You will say, I agree. You don't know what you are agreeing to. You have no clue. Because you don't know what's in my heart. So Allah did not leave it there. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Wa jihadin fi sabili. Striving in the path of Allah. Allah is saying, demonstrate that love. If you love Allah more than anything else, then the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered, must take precedence, number one precedence in your life. They must be top of the priorities of your life. If you say you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything else, and then you are borrowing money on interest to run your business, then you are telling a lie. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made interest-based borrowings haram. You are accepting a declaration of war from Allah, and you are saying, no, but I love Allah more than anybody else. How is this possible, boss? This is a lie. If you say you love Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than you love anybody and anything else, which is the ayat of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, this is the condition of your iman. If you don't do that, I will burn you in the hellfire. If you love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than you love anybody and anything else, then this, and then every morning when you stand and you do ziyarat of Sheikh Gillette, think about that. Seriously. You say you love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you shave your beard? You say you love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you have no compunctions and no problems about removing his sunnah from your face? Please understand, my brothers. My job is to inform you. And I am telling you this because I love you. If I didn't love you, I don't care two hoots. What do I care? It's your face. Do what you want. But because I love you, because I don't want to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I don't want you on that day to say that, you know what, you really didn't, you mentioned it, but you kind of mentioned it in passing, and you didn't really emphasize. If you had emphasized, then I would have stopped shaving. I don't want to give you that excuse. I do not want you to be able to say that. Right now, the way it is, people tell me, you are obsessed with this thing. As you got this obsessive compulsive disorder, which is to stop people from shaving. I said, Alhamdulillah, remember that when you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This guy had OCD, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Yeah. So do that. Think about this ayat of the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ended with a very severe warning. What did he say? Wallahu la yahdil qawm al fasiqeen. Allah will not guide the people who are rebellious. My brothers and sisters, I strongly advise you. Let us not fall into the zumrah, into the group of people who are considered rebellious by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised not to guide them. What is going to happen to us? If we fall into that grouping, then we are in serious trouble. And what should we do with that? What is the solution? Is what? Make? Tawbah. Tawbah, khalas. Make tawbah. For the ones who are shaving their beards, it's even easier. The others have to do something. You have to do nothing. Now, how do you like that? The only action or the only thing in Islam where you get paid to do nothing is the beard. Everything else, you have to do something to get reward, right? You have to pray actually 2 rakat of salah to get the reward for 2 rakat of salah. Tell me what other thing in Islam where you do nothing but you get reward? The beard. You do nothing, you get reward. My brother came to me. He says, he tells me, Sheikh, I'm making a lot of effort, Sheikh, but you know, the beard doesn't come. I said, it doesn't come because you're making effort. Stop making effort, it will come. He's making effort every day before the mirror. With ziyarat of Sheikh Gillette. How will it come? And give it a chance, man. Give it a chance. Seriously, my brothers and sisters. I mean, they're not sisters, brothers. The brothers and sisters become such a thing. Comes up. This only one. Sisters are not included. Only the brothers. Alhamdulillah. The brothers, seriously. Take this thing seriously. Don't treat it like fun. I mean, I like to show my teeth. So that's different matter. We like to be humorous. But seriously, please, don't do this to yourself. Do not do this to yourself. Make your face look like the face of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is wrong with that? Tell me. We love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yes? So whose face is better than the face of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why do you want to have your face look like somebody else? You're going to look like someone. I mean, that there's no, no matter what you do, you're always going to look like somebody. And if you've got that choice, then what is better than looking like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Seriously, ask yourself this question. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised the companions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said that these people are people who, to whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more beloved even than themselves. So with respect to the Sahaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the witness and is the witness that they fulfilled the conditions of this ayat of Surah At-Tawbah which I recited before you just now. And with respect to the Sahaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ahzab, "An-nabiyyu awla bil-mu'minina min anfusihim wa azwajuhum mahatuhum." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this ayah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is closer to the believers than their own selves, and his wives are their mothers. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open this love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our heart. Because a man came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'll tell you this beauty of this and the beauty of loving Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and demonstrating this love in terms of our appearance, in terms of our speech, in terms of our actions, in terms of our lives. A man came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, when is the day of judgment? When will the hour come?" So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, "What have you prepared?" You're asking this question, when is the day of judgment? He said, "What have you prepared for that day?" And this man said, "Ya Rasulullah, I have prepared nothing." Now again, remember, when a Sahabi says that, it doesn't mean nothing. It means that whatever he did, he considers it to be nothing. So he said, "Ya Rasulullah, I have prepared nothing. Except that I love you and I love Allah." He said, "I love Allah and I love His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Then know that on the day of judgment, you will be with those you love." And the narrator of the hadith says, we were never happier than on that day. Because this was assurance for us that we would be with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is assurance for us, because we love him more than anybody else. And he said that on the day of judgment, you will be with those you love. If you love Allah and you love his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will be with Allah and you will be with his Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's the question I want you to ask yourself. Do you want to be with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And if the way to be with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is as simple as growing your beard, what is the problem? I'm not saying it is only that, but I'm saying if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes that one action of yours, and if He decides to forgive everything else, you got a problem with that? Do you have a problem with that? And on the contrary, what are you going to do? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes all your and my actions, none of which could have been done without His mercy anyway. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes all of these actions and He throws them into the garbage and He says, "I don't care, you made your face look like the enemies of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, therefore as far as I am concerned, go to hell." What are you going to do? What will I do? Do you think we can do anything? So please, the time to change is now, not after we are dead. The time to change is now. Fear nobody, fear nothing except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because nobody and nothing will be with you and with me on the day of judgment. The only one who will be with us is our Rabb. The life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is perhaps the most authentically and effectively documented life in the history of mankind. His companions and those who came after him, they wrote down every single detail. And alhamdulillah, the Muslims have taken advantage of this over the years, and they have learnt that history. They have repeated that history and taught this history to one another. And they have preserved this history in memory, in speech, and in action. And in all of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to love the one who emulates His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to mankind, if you really love Allah, then emulate me, imitate me, emulate me, be like me, walk and talk like me, look like me, emulate me, follow my sunnah, and Allah will love you and forgive your sins. And Allah is of forgiving, most merciful. There are two sets of lectures of mine on YouTube. Do watch them. One is called The Rights of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on His Ummah. I think it's a set of three or four. How many lectures? Four lectures. Rights of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Six lectures. Watch them. And most recently, I did a lecture called Lack of respect for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Showing a lack of respect from Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was done last week. Watch that. Get the issues clarified in your mind. And then make an informed choice. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the beard, there is another big issue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Atiu Allah wa Atiu Rasul, obey Allah and obey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayat of Surah Al Imran, He said, emulate ittiba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So itaat and ittiba, obedience and emulation. With respect to the beard, it's a combination of both of these things. It's not only one. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said very clearly, be different from the mushrikeen. Grow your beards and trim your mustaches. Grow your beard and trim your mustaches. Big handlebar mustaches, not from Islam. Handlebars are for motorcycles. Grow your beard, trim your mustaches. He also didn't say shave your mustache, because that's the other thing people do. It's not from the hadith. It's not haram, but it's not from the hadith. Follow the hadith. Don't do more, don't do less. Do what you have been ordered to do. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, grow the beard, trim the mustache. Now, how did that happen? That happened because the Kisra of Persia, the king of Persia, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent a letter inviting him to Islam, he tore up the letter and he sent an order to his governor in Yemen to arrest the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and bring him in chains to Persia. So the governor of Yemen, see the power of kings. How many people do you think the governor of Yemen sent? Did he send an army to arrest Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He sent two people. That was his confidence with regard to his power. Two people. They came to Makkah. They asked, where is so and so? They said, he is in Madinah. They came to Madinah. And they said, our king has sent us to arrest you and bring you in chains, so we have come. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, because you are ambassadors and we know, we have been taught how to treat ambassadors. That is why you are safe with us. And the following day, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and told them that your king is dead. He was killed last night. And this order that you came with has been rescinded. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salam to tell him, give him this news. The Kisra was killed by his own son. And his son sent word to the king of Yemen to say, we've got enough problems. We don't need this one. Call your people back. Now those people, they had faces which were shaved and they had big mustaches. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam disliked that appearance so much that he turned his face away and he said to them, who asked you to have a face like this? And they said, our Rabb. They used to call their king their Rabb, our Lord, our Rabb. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed his blessed hand on his face, over his beard, and then he made this statement to the Sahaba. He said, grow your beard and trim your mustaches. And he passed his blessed hand on his face, and he said, my Rabb likes this appearance. So now you have all the evidence. It is a sunnah of imitation, it's a sunnah of ittiba, it's a sunnah also of ita'at, and inshallah, please make the right choice. My dear brothers and sisters, we come to the end of this part of the lecture, and then next Juma inshallah we have the last of those questions. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and he brought a system that was a system which insisted on excellence, a system which insisted on ihsan. I've done a series of, I think, 6 or 7 Fajr reminders over the last week on the topic of excellence and on the topic of what I call the C word, which is compromise. The reason the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alayhim Ajmain succeeded was because they did not fall into the trap of the C word. They had their priorities clear, and they followed those priorities, irrespective of what the world would say or not say. The secret, if at all we can call it a secret, the model of success has been clearly demonstrated for us. It is for us to try to follow it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to follow it to the best of our abilities, to put barakah in that, to make it easy for us, to remove from our hearts the love and awe and majesty and desire to please of everyone other than himself. And to enable us to do that which is good for our dunya wal akhirah. And to save us from our own nafs, and to save us from the shaitan, and to save us from doing those things which are harmful to us in the dunya wal akhirah. Please understand, there is nothing that is beneficial in the dunya, actually beneficial in the dunya, which harms in the akhirah. Nothing. Everything which is truly beneficial in this life is automatically beneficial in the akhirah. And everything which is beneficial in the akhirah is automatically beneficial in this life. If you and I don't see it like that, that is a lack of our own perception and understanding. There's no dichotomy in Islam. There's no such thing in Islam as something which is harmful in this dunya but which will get us something else in the akhirah. No. If it is truly harmful, it's harmful in both places. If it is truly beneficial, it is beneficial in both places. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our eyes to these realities and to help us to do that which is pleasing to him and to save us from that which is not pleasing to him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.